Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. At ESMO Congress 2025, Cancer Network spoke with a variety of experts who presented key clinical trial updates across different cancer populations. First, Dr. Sarah Hurvitz from Fred Hutch Cancer Center spoke about her presentation on the Phase 3 VIKTORIA-1 trial, assessing gedatolisib-based treatment in patients with PIK3CA-mutated breast cancer.
The PI3 kinase pathway is altered in about 40% of hormone receptor-positive HER2-negative breast cancer. And for the past 13 years, we've had agents available that target the PI3 kinase pathway. Most of the agents that have been approved, if not all, target only one part of the pathway because targeting multiple parts of the pathway has been shown to be pretty toxic. Gedatolisib is an IV PI3 kinase and mTOR inhibitor. It inhibits all three isoforms of PI3 kinase, class 1, and also mTORC1 and 2. In a phase 1b study, patients were treated with gedatolisib, fulvestrant, and palbociclib, and benefit was seen in patients regardless of whether or not their tumor had a PIK3CA mutation. So these exciting data led to the development of the VIKTORIA-1 phase 3 clinical trial, which had two study parts. Study 1 was in patients with PIK3CA wild-type tumors, and study 2, which was not yet presented, that will be presented next year, was in patients who had tumors that were PIK3CA mutated. Study 1 evaluated patients who had previously received a CDK4/6 inhibitor with endocrine therapy. Patients were randomly assigned to one of three treatment arms, either fulvestrant, gedatolisib, palbociclib, a triplet, fulvestrant, gedatolisib, a doublet, or just fulvestrant. After treatment with a CDK4/6 inhibitor, most studies that have looked at single-agent endocrine therapy have demonstrated a progression-free survival rate of less than 6 months. So it's really quite challenging for patients who have experienced disease progression on frontline CDK4/6 inhibitor therapy. Side effect profile is another important consideration. The VIKTORIA-1 study demonstrated a statistically significant improvement in progression-free survival by the triplet combination of geda plus fulvestrant and palbo, as well as the doublet combination. Both of them were statistically significantly better than fulvestrant alone. The data were pretty impressive, even for patients with very endocrine-resistant breast cancer, where the triplet seemed actually particularly impressive. Whether or not to use the triplet regimen or the doublet regimen is going to be a question that will probably stimulate much debate. Looking at our subgroup analyses, however, and comparing the benefit of the triplet versus the doublet as an exploratory sort of measure, it does seem that patients who have very endocrine-resistant disease, who experienced a short time to progression on frontline therapy, may be the ones who are going to benefit more from a triplet than a doublet.
Next, Dr. Juning Lee from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center discussed her presentation on the Phase 1-2 SOHO-01 trial, evaluating civabertinib in HER2-mutated non-small cell lung cancer.
This year at ESMO 25, we reported out a SOHO-01 study evaluating civabertinib in HER2 mutation lung cancer patient population. The data is really encouraging. So civabertinib is oral, irreversible small molecule inhibitor for HER2, very potent against HER2 insertions and the kinase domain mutations. Therefore, I think the study has a lot of preclinical evidence to go into the clinical space. In the clinical part, we were able to show very good response rate regardless of prior lines of therapy. Of course, the response is best in patients who are treatment naive. So overall, we think zivabertinib is very promising as a new option for patients with HER2 mutation lung cancer. For HER2 mutation non-small cell lung cancer, for a long time, we didn't have targeted therapy. And then we start to have the option of HER2 ADC. Only most recently in 2025, we start to have HER2 small molecule inhibitors. And then zilovertinib will contribute to that collection of medication, we hope. So that way we can help patients to have their best quality of life upfront and the saving options down the line. The three cohorts I reported out this year at ESMO 25, I think each of them are important. So cohort D is patients who had a prior treatment but never received the HER2 targeted therapy. Cohort E is for patients who had a prior HER2 ADC treatment. The cohort E is evaluated because that's currently a lot of patients are going through is to get initial chemotherapy and then HER2 ADC, and then they're looking for options. Cohort F is also very important in that it's a futuristic cohort. It evaluates patients who are treatment naive in the their metastatic disease setting. That data will also support SOHO-02. I will have to say it's really a good thing for patients and physicians to have more than one treatment option as oral medication. Both zongertinib and zilovertinib, actually, we reported out the new updated results in the same session. So hopefully by next year, both of the medications will be available to patients. Those two medications are slightly different in their chemistry design. So zilovertinib is reversible and zongertinib is irreversible. In the future, we can anticipate some of the resistance mechanism could be different. In that case, is it possible for patients to switch from one drug to the other? I think that need to be evaluated both preclinically and in the clinical setting. The other difference I will have to say that zongertinib also have a better toxicity profile, sparing EGFR wild type, so that the diarrhea is not as frequent as zilovertinib. But the diarrhea is a common clinical implication, so that most of us are very comfortable in managing diarrhea. But the third will be different countries might have different approvals. So at least we should have at least one option. So to me, as a physician, I'm very happy to see both drugs are moving forward.
Finally, Dr. Erica Mayer from Dana-Farber Cancer Institute highlighted her presentation on the Phase 3 EVERA trial, assessing giredestrant plus everolimus in ER-positive, HER2-negative breast cancer.
Patients with metastatic hormone receptor-positive, HER2-negative breast cancer typically receive a CDK4/6 inhibitor-based therapy in the first-line setting. At time of progression, however, cancers have developed resistance, and there's an unmet need to identify best treatment strategies post-CDK4/6 inhibitors. We do know that two of the pathways that create that resistance include mutations in the estrogen receptor or other aspects of the estrogen receptor pathway and the PI3 kinase AKT pathway. Thus, there is a rationale to give a combination therapy that is targeting both the ER pathway and the PI3 kinase AKT pathway. EVERA is a randomized phase 3 trial that enrolled patients who had progressed after prior CDK4/6 inhibitor. All of the patients had metastatic hormone receptor positive, HER2 negative disease. They'd had up to two prior lines of endocrine therapy with at least exposure to CDK4/6 inhibitor previously, no prior chemotherapy. Patients were randomized to receive the combination of giredestrant with everolimus, that's the experimental arm, or in the control arm, provider choice endocrine therapy, which could be fulvestrant, exemestane, tamoxifen, plus everolimus. There were co-primary endpoints for the study, progression-free survival in the ESR1 mutation population and progression-free survival in the ITT population. What we found in the EVERA study was for the primary endpoint of progression-free survival in the ESR1 mutant population, patients receiving giredestrant and everolimus had a statistically significant and very clinically meaningful improvement in progression-free survival at 9.99 months compared to about 5.5 months in the control arm. So that's a 62% improvement compared to control. Similarly, in the ITT population, there was a statistically significant and clinically meaningful prolongation in progression-free survival as well. So the EVERA study met its two primary endpoints of prolonging progression-free survival for both ESR1 mutant as well as the ITT population. So we're really excited that EVERA has shown the superiority of a combination oral SERD and targeted partner post-CDK4/6 inhibitor. One of the very important features of the Avera study is that both agents are oral. We know from multiple studies with patients who have been receiving intravenous or injectable therapies that from a quality of life point of view, patients vastly prefer oral therapies. And I think that makes sense to all of us. What's really exciting about Avera is that this is an all-oral regimen. It's easy for patients to take. The side effect profile is well known, and there are good strategies to help prevent or manage any toxicities. So we feel this is very applicable to a modern patient population.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available. Or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On The Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.